Blog Talk Radio.
It's time for Standing on My Soapbox, the weekly rant, rave, and review radio show where we talk all of the good, the bad, and the ugly of the past week's current events. Join your host, Scott Fullerton, and this week's special guest co-host,
Stephen Fales.
You're also invited to call in and stand on my soapbox with us. Call now at 347-989-0126 to join the conversation. Now, here he is, stepping up to the microphone, your host, Scott Fullerton.
Well, howdy, howdy, everybody. Welcome to the show. Thank you for making my cheesy introduction. It is Wednesday, March 29th. Time to step up onto the old soapbox and rant, rave, review, talk about the week in pop culture, LGBT news, politics, all the fun fourth rail stuff you should never talk about in good company. You're welcome to call in with us to give your opinion, bring some topics of your own. And I have a very special co-host with me today. He is an actor, a writer, a producer. He does it all. Please welcome to the show, everyone, Stephen Fales. Welcome, Stephen.
Hey, Scott. Thanks for making room for me on your soapbox.
I appreciate you stepping right up. It's time to have a little fun, my friend. How are you doing?
You know, I'm doing great. I'm here in Salt Lake City today. The weather, it's the most beautiful spring day I have seen in a long – well, we've been waiting for this. It's just glorious.
I am feeling so good. Happy to hear that, even though I have been jealous hell following you on Instagram for the past 4 weeks of a New York extravaganza for you. You've been doing all sorts of fun stuff.
Yeah, I was there for 3 weeks, and I came back to my studio here in Salt Lake where I write, and I lay low, and then I go back to New York. And so, yeah, I have a lot of living I did there for 3 weeks and a lot to process. So,
well, very cool. We have so much to talk about. Of course, there's never a dull moment in politics, at least with Trump. And then, of course, we always have some great pop culture and LGBT news to talk about. Let's kind of jump right into it with a little bit of LGBT stuff here. Right off the bat,
right.
Are you one of the Drag Race fans?
You know, I am a fan. I'm not an uber fan, but I'm amazed. I'm amazed. Like, it's just like how this endures. It's incredible.
It's crazy. It's on its ninth season now. And I've been, like you said, I'm kind of a partial fan where I kind of keep my ear on it a bit in print, but I don't have logo on my television. So I was never able to watch it before. And this year, for the first time, they moved to VH1, which is on just about every cable network anywhere. And so they went to VH1. It was a little controversial at first because a lot of the bars were what they center their entire evening around 10 o'clock on the bar and VH1. Not many people have it. And they were a little worried that it was going to bring down attendance. And now it's at 8 o'clock instead of 10 o'clock where nobody's in the bars, as you and I both know. And it's like they were kind of really worried. But it debuted highest numbers ever, had over 1 million viewers, and just went out of the gate flying last week. So good on them, man.
Wow. Yeah, really good. And I'm sure that had a lot to do with Lady Gaga being – that was the first one of the season, right? First episode of the season.
Exactly, right. She was her very special guest for the season, and the queens went crazy, of course. So I think it's going to be fun. Like I said, I'll be able to watch a little more. If I was a queen, I'd be a little scared because VH1 is now in high def on TV. Logo never had that. So we're going to see it all this year, I guess. But it'll be kind of fun.
Hey, listen, I have a question for you about, drag. It's extraordinary. It's fun. It's beautiful. It's going to go the way, like, you remember when improv was everything, like, in the 80s? You know, all these improv specials and improv clubs, and it was improv, and now we don't really have it like we did. I know drag will endure, but will it go the way of, like, you know, things ebb and flow? Are we at a high point? Can it sustain? Will it continue? Or will it just kind of, endure, but
die in its own weight a little bit? Right. No, I think that's an excellent question. I kind of feel the same way. I think if it wasn't for Drag Race being so popular, I think it would probably peter out a little more, and especially in the smaller communities. But I think with the success of it, it's really is what's kept that art form going. I mean, there's always going to be drag, like you said. There always has been, always going to be, but it is at a fever pitch now. And if it was not as popular, like I said, with the RuPaul thing, she actually won an Emmy last year for her work hosting it. I don't think so. I mean, drag has never been my thing. Drag has always been fun for me. I was more there for the community and for the stripper boys, to be honest with you. That was my idea for going to the bars. Drag night was not my biggest draw.
Well, I have done a little drag, but mostly been in the theater, and I don't think you can even call it drag, but I played the player queen in Hamlet at the Utah Shakespeare Festival. And it, anyway, it scared me. It scared me because people were like, "You're just so beautiful up there." And I was like, I was in my, you know, mid-20s. And but I did drag in Hamlet. And then, you know, but I, it's not something I, you know, I guess it's going to be calling to me more. And if I were to do it, you know who I want to dress up as?
Who would that be?
Marie Osmond.
Oh,
I think it would
that.
Be a great Marie Osmond,
that.
Don't you think?
That would be awesome. I would love that. And just so you know, I'm sorry, but you are gorgeous all the time, whether you're on stage and drag or not, Mr. Handsome Man, you. So don't go give me any of that, 20s or not.
I wasn't fishing for that, but I guess I was. Thanks.
You weren't, but I'm going to dish it out there because you deserve every second of it. Yeah, but I think that's a good question. I think we'll see what happens with drag if it ever does kind of run its course. I mean, those queens are expensive too. I know that we've done Pride for 9 years here in my suburb of Youngstown, Ohio, and I think one of the early years, second or third year, we brought one of the queens in, and they were like $2,000, $3,000 to bring in. It's not a cheap endeavor anymore as it gets more and more popular. So I don't know how they do it.
Yeah, that's true. But I look at their outfits and I go, you know what? These are so expensive. It's an expensive extreme sport. You know, as a solo performing artist, I don't have, you know, hair and makeup, so, you know, like the drag queens, but what I do as a solo performer, it's an extreme sport and it's expensive. And so I'm glad people are doling it out for the artists, and I know they could probably use it a lot. So.
Oh, it's just, it's crazy. I think the time and energy they put into that, more power to them. Cause like you said, it's an everyday occurrence, and you have to have a lot of personal fortitude, I think, just to go shopping for the outfits. I mean, there are specialty out places that you get it. A friend of mine does drag here in Ohio, and he has a place in Columbus that specializes just in drag. So there are certain places across the country, but you still have to kind of be out there and be into your own skin to be able to do that and look for outfits that know we're going to fit your body type no matter where you might find them. Because you can find a fabulous frock just about anywhere, right?
You know what? I'm going to be in Provincetown this summer performing, doing Confessions of a Mormon Boy at the Crown and Anchor in August in Provincetown. And,
how long
are
you
going to
be there?
That would
be fantastic.
You're going to be there then?
No, I said, how long are you going to be there? I may have to go now, but.
Well, I'll be there for performing for about 10 days. And the thing about P-Town is it's like drag queen central. I mean, you can have Barla Jean. You have, you know, I once shared the dressing room in P-Town with Hedda Lettuce. You know, you've got Miss Richfield. You know, it's just, they do it so well. So it's going to be fun to be around that this summer.
Well, I'm going to try to have to get up there because I keep saying it's the one place I've never been. I lived in Springfield, Massachusetts, which is on the western end, for 2 years and never made it to P-Town. I only made it to Boston like 3 times the entire 2 years I was there. And I never made it down the horn there to get over to P-Town. And everyone says I have to. And, of course, the Crown and Anchor, is that what you said? That's like the house there. That's why I see eyes all the time. So that's like the big place there.
Yeah, it's I'm really, really lucky to play there this summer. And you've got to come out. It's this Shangri-La. It's like this very, very special place. I prefer it to Fire Island. You have so much art. The nature is incredible. There's a vibe there. It's just everyone belongs. It's very inclusive. It's fantastic.
Nice. Yeah, that's two of my big gay icon places I have not been to. I have not been to either of those you mentioned. I haven't been to P-Town. I haven't been to Fire Island yet. I've been invited to both and just have not made it to either one. And that's going to be – that's my semi-bucket list here in the next couple summers when I can get out. Especially, like, I'm a big guy. I've told you that. I'm a big guy, bearish, big bear. And I hear the Bear Week in P-Town just a hoot. They have a great time out there. So I'm looking forward
that,
to
that everyone – that's one of everyone's favorite weeks in P-Town is the Bear Week.
It's
the bears are
fun
just
time.
The happiest people on earth, happiest and the sexiest people on earth.
Well, your show is just so confess of a Mormon boy. Give everyone a real quick talk about how that came about. It's been so popular, played just about everywhere to rave reviews. Talk about what they're going to be able to see when they catch you there.
Well, you know, it's this 90-minute, one-man journey that I hope a lot of people can relate to. It's about what it is to be a real boy. It's like, you know, Pinocchio, he just wants to be a real boy. So it's about being the perfect Mormon boy, the perfect model of Mormonism, and then becoming the perfect rent boy fantasy, so to speak, in Manhattan, and how I left both extremes. You find a middle ground that works for me, and we do it all with humor, and it gets very intense. We're going to deal with, you know, everything from top shelf human trafficking and meth and excommunication, but we do it with a lot of style. So, and ultimately, it's about, it's really a Valentine to my kids. I have two kids, and so it's about being
a dad.
I love
that.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Well, I am so excited. I'm going to have to mark that out in August. I'm going to get my calendar out so I can make it up there for a week. That would be a fantastic time.
Please. And you could do your show there from there, you know?
Yeah, that's true. I could. That's a good thing about the show.
So many people.
Half computer will travel
so
nowadays.
Right,
exactly. Technology.
Yeah.
It'll be a good time. So that'll be great. I'll have to plan on that. It's really not that far of a drive, I think. Boston is like maybe 9 hours from here. So just an extra hour or so around the Cape, or you can take a boat through. They have a ferry that still goes there or not anymore. I don't remember. I thought
that ferry is tired by the end of the summer.
Ah, gotcha. Okay. I can bet. Yeah. But if I can get there from Boston across the ferry, so I don't have to drive around that whole, but don't you go through kind of like Cape Cod area to get there? Is that, cause I haven't been there either.
I take the ferry. I'll fly into Boston, take the ferry. But I think if you drive it, and there's a lot of traffic in the summer, and I think I've heard that it can take up to 4 hours to make that to Hampton.
No,
you
I'm
know,
going on the ferry.
At least a two-hour drive. At least.
Oh my goodness. I'm ferrying it. That's all there is to it. Well, that's going to be awesome. I can't wait. We're going to have to keep everyone on. We'll keep it on my website, and I'll announce it every week during the show that you're up there, because that's got to be a fun time. And it's just so many people I know go there. I think you're going to have a great time. Have you performed there before?
I have. We haven't done confessions there in a long time. What we're doing is we're you know, confessions ran off Broadway 11 years ago. And so we're dusting it off, revamping it, and the goal is to revive it off Broadway in 2018. So that's I'm really doing it. I'm honing it in because we have a whole new generation that hasn't seen it.
Sure.
You know, I have a film that I haven't released that I've showed people, and they're like, you know, and these guys are in their young early 20s, and they're like, well, yeah, this speaks to me today. So. We're dusting it off, and so I'm taking it to Dublin, Ireland, the beginning of May, at the International Dublin Gay Theater Festival. So I'll be in Dublin the first week of May,
wow.
And then P-Town, and then we're working on bringing it back to New York for a whole new, all new branding, and got a lot of good, exciting plans. That's why I was in New York. I was there having meetings about, you know, the off-Broadway run. So we'll see how it all comes together.
That's amazing. Well, congratulations. That will be great. Wow. So cool. Let's go back. Let's see what else we have. Oh, I want to talk about, I happened to see today, I talked about it on the radio show yesterday, and I was wrong yesterday, so I want to clear that up today. But for the Orlando Pulse anniversary, They're going to, the city of Orlando is putting a Orlando United Day together. You can find out information at OrlandoUnitedDay.com, and there's a whole bunch of events to celebrate the lives and hopefully our community and everything else about Pulse in Orlando on June 12th. It's a Monday. I thought it was going to be on June 11th because June 11th is when all the protests rallies are going. LA Pride is June 11th, and they've turned their Pride parade into a Pride protest parade. Washington, D.C. is doing a protest parade that day. So they're trying to get everyone on the 11th around the country to just show visibility of the LGBT and kind of have like our National Women's March. This was supposed to be a natural LGBT march on the 11th. And I thought they were both going to be on the 12th for a second, so I was a little worried. But I think how beautiful is that we're going to have this protest on the 11th and then this day of love on the 12th for Pulse in Orlando. So I think that's a great kind of bookend. I was worried for a second there. So that's
I didn't realize that we're turning these parades into more protest parades, and I think this is great. I think it's designed to do that, and if we can, you know, it gives it much more substance for these parades. Of course, they'll be sexy, probably, but you know, and have some of that gay pride flair like in L.A. But
it will. But I think you're right.
Activism.
These things started out as back in the day. I mean, we have to realize that the pride didn't come together from a good place. It came together from the Stonewall riots, speaking of history and everything. It came together to as a protest time for we weren't going to take being second class citizens anymore. And that's what the pride turned into, a huge celebration gala, as well they should be, because we ought to celebrate these things.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Yeah, you're great.
Okay, great. Well, the Gay Pride here in Salt Lake is going to be, I think it's like the first or second, the beginning of June. So I'm going to check in. I'll bet we get pretty pretty progressive with our parade this year like that. So that I'll definitely look into that.
That would be fantastic. Yeah, just check into it, because I think I know a lot of people are doing it. I know for sure that LA and Washington are coordinating for June 12th, which would be the second Sunday, I guess, in June. So, and a lot of people, most states have their bigger cities have their prides in those 4 weeks of June. So it'll be interesting how it happens. I haven't heard from all of them yet, but I know that's where things are heading there. But then on that's the 11th, Sunday, June 11th. And then on Monday, June 12th, it's going to be excited to bring that love back around and support Orlando with an Orlando United Day. So I like the way it's going to kind of come together from protest to love. That's pretty exciting.
It is.
Well, talk about a little bit. What did you get to see and do in New York between the business meetings? Did you get any good shows in? And tell me
I saw some incredible theaters. You know, I saw some Broadway shows, but mostly I luxuriated in the off-Broadway scene. I saw a one-man show called Georgie. It just closed. It was fantastic. An off-Broadway show called Church and State, a lot about gun control, done in a very fun theatrical way. It'll be interesting to see what those reviews are like. But the best thing I saw off-Broadway, certainly, was called The View Upstairs. Have you heard about this?
I just heard the name of it, and I saw a blurb on it, but I can't remember what I read on it. But I did hear the name of the play.
You know, it's about that, you know, that there was a fire in 1973, this upstairs fire, where upstairs in New Orleans they had this this gay bar.
Got it.
It was a tragedy, and all these gay LGBT people died, and it was tragic. But they have created this musical about it that was so fresh, so entertaining, so heartfelt. I couldn't even believe it. I went going, okay, you know, I'm going to see this Good For You activist theater, and here we are at this theater on Bleecker Street, and it's freezing cold. It's 10 o'clock at night. It's a two-show night. I'm sitting in there, and the you know, the set is over the top, and it's very experiential, environmental. So I'm going in there and I'm just sitting there and I'm like, okay, well, you know, impress me, you know.
There you go, right.
And it blew me away. I was riveted and I was absorbed into it. Just like, it was so tender. It was so smart. It was so spectacular. It was so entertaining. The actors, the music, these composers and the director and the scene designer, they are going to be huge stars. I predict this will have a cult following that will come to the, I believe it'll be, this could be the new Brent of our generation. It is.
Oh my goodness.
Amazing.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. Run to see this. The View Upstairs. It's
The View Upstairs. I remember the blurb now because I remember hearing about the New Orleans connection to it. So I do remember a little bit more about it now. But yeah, that sounds amazing.
And I think it's on sale till May 31st. And I just have to do a shout out to the book, music, and lyrics are by Max Vernon. And I got to meet him after the show. And this guy is a very special writer. I just was blown away. So run to see the View Upstairs.
Well, I hope you got his card and you got to call in with him and bring him on the show. That would be amazing to talk about. I'm going to write that down right now. The name,
yes.
So I could keep up on that.
Oh, absolutely.
Cool.
I think he's on vacation for two. Well, or he's got another show about Korean pop stars or something like that at Ars Nova.
Oh, wow.
This guy is extraordinary. The director is extraordinary. The set design is amazing. And then, of course, it's an all-star cast. All-star cast. All these Broadway veterans. It's just incredible. So, yeah, totally. Max Vernon.
That is awesome! Wow. What else do you have? Do you like to eat when you're in New York? Are you a foodie at all? Do you try different places?
I'll eat anything, and you know, I think one of my favorite things is just a slice of pizza I had up in Washington Heights that just was so good. Just the pizza alone.
Nice.
Yeah. You know what? I had a lot of friends that made some extraordinary dinners at home. I've eaten out there in New York at wonderful restaurants, but man, my friend just really.
That's even better, though.
Out.
That's even better. I love a nice restaurant, but just going and noshing at a friend's house and letting them put the love into the food and the conversation, that's even better. I love that.
And you don't find that in New York City very often. So I was really impressed that they were like, I think people are cooking at home more in New York than they ever were. When I was living in New York full time, I think there was one year I could count on one hand the times I had cooked at home. And that was very expensive.
Usually kitchens are so small there, I can imagine, unless you had a really nice apartment. There's not a lot you could do.
Well, the thing is, I was subletting alone this four-bedroom monster apartment. And so there was no excuse. I think I was playing a little too hard, and of course this was like, you know, 18 years ago, so
that's hilarious.
I don't play that hard today. But another thing I saw was Taio Tone in war paint.
Oh my goodness. Tell me about that.
Yes, and Christine Ebersole. It was
42nd
very,
Street,
very,
so much more. Oh my goodness!
Yep,
love both of them.
So Patty's going on all five cylinders, and so is Christine, and my good friend Douglas Sills is in the show. I got to see him after the show, and he was a Scarlet Pimpernel on Broadway years ago, and you know, it's really a wonderful show. I couldn't help think, though, you know, that Glenn Close is down the street. You've got Bette Midler now opening. It's really a season of divas this year. It's amazing.
It is. I love
how many
that.
Huge female stars on Broadway this season. It's going to be a wild Tony Awards.
That is going to be a fun Tony Awards. Can you imagine all these people under one roof? It's going to be a blast. Oh, my goodness. How fun.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
so I had
like
a good time
trip.
Seeing great theater. It was lots of great theater. And I hit that storm hit. I was going to come back a week earlier, but I stayed an extra week because all those flights were canceled. So I put it to good use. And crammed in some more meetings and got to see a lot of friends. And so that got me charged, and now I'm back here in Salt Lake, cranking things out. So.
Good deal. Well, I'm going to plug my quick LA trip here because I'm going to be seeing just a parade of stars on down there. I leave this Saturday. I'm going to be in New York, and I'm taking the train from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania to Los Angeles, California back, which adds an entire extra week to the trip, which I'm not really happy about. But it's going to be fun. Yeah, it's going to be interesting. It'll be cool. Go ahead.
No. I'm fascinated. Tell me the route. What? How's this going?
What's happening is I'm actually taking my mother out there. I'm a home health care aide for my mother here in Ohio, and she is obsessed with the old classic movies, right? She watches TCM and ACM and those movies all the time. Like, she sees the same ones over and over again every other week. It's pretty funny to me. But anyway, Turner Movie Classics does a festival every year in Los Angeles where they honor the stars of different movies, and they do a lot of screenings of them. So next week, April 6th through 9th, is their annual Turner Movie Classic festival. And they've done it every year. My mom's always said she wanted to go. And this year on April 8th would have been her and my father's 50th wedding anniversary. So she really wanted to go this year. So I'm taking her out there. She doesn't fly, hence the train. So we're going to take the train out to LA. And this is the lineup of this festival. It's a salute to comedy. And these are all the young kids. You're not going to know half these names or even care. But for people like me, this is going to be exciting stuff. They're having Rob and Carl Reiner are getting their feet and hands in front of the Grauman Chinese Theater in cement. So they're going to be there, and they're going to have a panel to talk to. Mel Brooks is going to be there and have a panel. Michael Douglas is going to be there and have a panel. Bob Newhart is going to be there and have a panel. James Brooks, amazing behind the scenes. Todd Fisher, of course, Carrie Fisher's brother and what's her name's son. Come on, help me here. Debbie Reynolds, thank you. Debbie Reynolds' son and Carrie Fisher, Todd Fisher is going to do a panel there. John Landis, does all those funny comedy movies. And Fred Willard, who I just love as a character actor and plays all those great characters, is just a few of the people that are going to be at this festival. It's going to be so much fun. We have a little season pass to go and everything. One of the first things I'm going to do is see Willy Wonka, the Chocolate Factory, poolside at the Hollywood Roosevelt Hotel with Ileana Douglas, who was a friend of a friend, and that's going to be amazing. So we're going to have a good time had by all. So it's going to be a fun time.
Oh yeah, and the weather, and you'll bond on that trip on the train, and then there's all this panel. It sounds like it'll just be heaven. So good for you. What a good son to go with your mother like that. It's awesome.
It's going to be fun. And I'm going to do a little work while I'm there too. I'm going to throw a little because, just like you and I have so many great guests like yourself that have come on the show that aren't necessarily in Northeast Ohio. So I've never really met them in person. We just had to talk on the phone. So I have about 40 to 50 of my guests that live in LA coming to a little soiree I'm throwing together on Sunday, April 9th while I'm there. And I've turned it into just a fun time. We're going to have it at this really cool West Hollywood gay bar that's not really that busy on a Sunday. They're going to open up for us their patio, and I have food and drinks going to be there, and I have little celebrity gift bags for everybody, and it's going to be so much fun. I'm really looking forward to it. It's just going to be a great time.
I don't want to go. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, it's great. I mean, and I should shout out the sponsors, too. I mean, my good friend Alexander Rodriguez, who is on the Rocks Radio out in L.A., he's helped me co-host it. There's a company called CBT Candle LA out there. They're putting candles and scents and all these goodies into my gift bag, and they're putting my gift bags together for me. GED Magazine out there says all the hot things to do in LA, Palm Springs, and Vegas. They're helping out. There's a new company that I just heard about. It's been around for 2 years, but I just heard about them recently, and they're donating these bracelets. It's called Love On Revolution, and they're helping sponsor the event. these guys are incredible. This guy started it after a near-death experience, and what they do is you get a band, you can buy a like little rubber band things you put around your wrist that have like Live Strong and things like that, right? They have it's called Love On Revolution, and what you do is you perform. Each band has a unique code underneath it, and you go ahead and you get your band, and you do some type of a pay it forward thing to something, be small, large, whatever you want to do, and you hand that person your band, and they go to the website and upload the band and say what they've done and how it affected them, and then they have 3 days to pay it forward again, and it keeps moving on and on. This website's telling all these amazing stories. So I'm getting bands for all my celebrities, and hopefully we're going to do a big pay it forward campaign here while I'm out in LA and have a lot of amazing things happen. So it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it.
I'm really impressed and inspired. That's awesome. And the party sounds like it's going to be such a good time.
Well, see, there you go. We'll pick you up on the train. Just have your thumb out there. I don't know if we're going through Salt Lake, but I'll try to see if I can get us through there.
I hope you do. You know, Salt Lake is known as the crossroads of the West because all the railroads did converge here in Salt Lake at one time. So I'll bet it's a good chance. We'll see.
I did go through, when we drove, we went through Salt Lake. I know when I drove out there a year and a half ago, we definitely went through Salt Lake. So I love it out that area.
Yeah,
all right, let's go ahead and take a break. So stopping point here. Guys, I see people out there listening to the show. If you want to call in, please call in 347-989-0126. We're going to take a little break to kind of get a drink of water and catch our breath. We have a lot more to talk about in pop culture, politics, fun stuff. We're going to play a little bit of Brian Justin Crumb from America's Got Talent this year with our two friends from Superfruit, Mitch Grossi and Scott Hoying. This is Katy Perry's cover of Rise by Brian Justin Crumb, and we'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
I won't just survive. Oh, you will see me thrive. Can write my story. I'm beyond the archetype. Oh, you have so little fun.
And we are back. It's one of my favorite a cappella songs, Rise. It's a Katy Perry song covered by Brian Justin Crumb, Mitch Hoying, Scott Hoying, and Mitch Grassi from Superfruit and from Pentatonix. Love that song. Guys, we are talking today with the incredible actor, writer, producer, Stephen Fales. If you want to call in and join the conversation, again, 347-989-0126. I see we have a lot of listeners out there. Don't be shy. We're just going to kind of bring up subjects that interest us. If you have something that you're interested in, give us a call and tell us what it is. Where should
Absolutely.
We go from here, Stephen? Anything hitting your hot button?
Well, we haven't really talked about politics, so let's jump in. I mean, lots
let's
of things are shaken
goodness.
Up.
So much crazy stuff. Let's see where to start. I mean, of course, we have the healthcare thing that happened last week. Thank goodness that didn't go through.
I guess they do have this plan B that now they're going to, look at it again and try to make it pass. And he says it's going to be so easy this time. And, he just has no credibility.
Yeah, exactly. You're right. He doesn't have any.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. But they just cut all of this, regardless, they just cut all this funding, or they're cutting funding for the HIV AIDS programs.
$300 million, can you believe that? That's a
yeah.
huge chunk of it. I mean, it was such a bad time. I mean, we remember, you and I are old enough to remember back in the 80s when HIV and AIDS first started out, that Reagan wouldn't even say the word forever, let alone fund anything on it. And now most of the presidents have understood this. George Bush was very good with AIDS funding, of course, Clinton, and of course, Obama. And now we're back into Republicans' hands. They want to cut $300 million to help pay for their extra B-53 bombers, whatever they want to do for the defense. It's just ridiculous. I get so frustrated by these things.
Yeah, yeah. I wonder if this is going to affect even like the Ryan White programs. It's going to be astounding. This is going to be fascinating.
Yeah, just some of those things. I mean, I'm not sure on Ryan White. I know some of them are self-funding foundations where they rely on donations from different projects they do throughout the year. But a lot of it does have some kind of a federal capacity to it, where they are getting some federal money. So it's going to hurt all of those programs quite a bit. So it's something we have to keep an eye on. It's so much with the whitewashing going on. There's another thing I just saw the other day. They originally were going to put sexual orientation and gender identity finally into the census they do every 10 years. And that was like the original draft the other day showed both sexual orientation, gender identity put into the 2020 draft. And then they had a meeting about it the other day, and all of a sudden it disappeared. It's gone. There is no.
So it was in the draft, and then it disappeared in the draft.
Correct. It was in the draft, and then all disappeared, not in the final revision, what they're showing around now.
This is about erasing us.
Exactly.
I think this whole administration is about erasing all minorities for a white supremacy. It's about punishing people with, there's no compassion when it comes to, like, say you were you needed drug treatment or you need HIV. This is all your fault for getting HIV. This is all your fault for being crazy. This is this hard line, tough love which translates into hate. And then on top of it all the finance. This all of these things are about a gluttony. It's letting this gluttony breathe. Gluttony
well
and bigotry.
Said.
It's just astounding. And I have a very independent streak, and Bernie really spoke to me. And it really awakened me this time around, and I'm so sorry that Hillary lost. Of course I am. But I am on fire as this progressive independent that's like, we have just got to fight in 2018 and 2020. I have never had such an awakening as I've been experiencing lately. And it's really hard because so many of my family are Trump people that I love. But
right.
I just see how really white trash some of my family is.
And it really breaks my heart. All this Mormon white trash. I'm like, come on. So
I had to bite my lip over Christmas. We go to my relative's house at Christmas, and they are all pretty religious and pretty Republican. And I just, I would talk politics at all. I couldn't get pulled into it because it just, I was not a happy camper after the election. And
well,
like you said, I've always been primarily Democrat, but the independents had such a strong showing this year that I really admire that and wish that we could have got that through. Because Hillary, as much as I would have loved her to be president, she was a very flawed candidate. I have no disillusions that she was the perfect candidate. Was she better than Trump? About a million times. Was she the best candidate for independents or for Democrats? Maybe not so much.
Listen,
but
I gave her my last $50 in 2008. You know, it was a recession. I gave her everything I had. And then Bernie came along and it just connected. And I was like, whoa.
Right.
You know, and my son and I, you know, I've got this son, he's in college now, and we would just like discuss. And, you know, it was a brutal time. You know, for me, last Thanksgiving, our family all got together. Almost all of us got together. And one brother that didn't show up. But, you know, there's six of us, and my parents, and, you know, they're divorced. But we all got together under my sister's roof for Thanksgiving. It was great. I put politics aside. But, man, after that election, I mean, and after, you know, once the inauguration hit, I was on fire on Facebook, and I know I alienated so much in my family. I know this because my birthday was, like, last week, and I didn't get calls that I you know, because I think they're punishing me for my activism. And so it's a tricky time for all of us to have family that we love and we want to be connected, but yet we can't, you know, we want to take a stand. So
right. Yeah. It's tough. I mean, and even to go back to the census thing, they originally in the draft, we were kind of disappointed because we wanted to actually have same-sex households as well, but they originally in the draft part, they ixnayed that, but did agree to the sexual orientation and gender identity just to get a better count. And now that whole thing's gone. And on top of that, on Monday, which is what, 2 days ago, he signed another executive order. He's been signing executive orders left, right, and center, kind of pulling apart everything Obama did, who put him together with executive orders because he couldn't work with the Congress. Congress would not, anything he put up, they were saying that, right? But did an executive order on Monday, Trump did, and I hate calling his name. I usually say 45, but I'm using Trump today. That's fine. But he rescinded an executive order that requires federal contractors to show they're in compliance with federal laws. And what that does, it doesn't sound like anything too minor, but one of the laws that did get put through last year, or one of his executive orders, was no transgender LGBT discrimination in anyone that wants to contract with the federal government. That was a huge thing for the federal government to say that you needed to prove that you are anti-discrimination against any transgender. You can't have any discrimination in your policies. And Obama passed that, and this thing, it doesn't repeal that, which is nice. They were afraid when he very first came into office they were going to repeal that, which he did. But now they kind of went around it the backhanded way and repealed where you don't have to show it anymore. So now you can do it and they just will never know because you don't have to account for it, like which was part of the parcel of the last bill. So now it's going to be interesting to see if anybody calls them out. I really hope somebody calls them out on it and finds that they were discriminated against there. But it's like, I don't want anyone to discriminate against, but I also want to show what happened. Just like I said, it's erasing a little bit of time, just a little. These little back steps, it's taken us so much to move forward the last 8 years. And I feel like I'm, you know how you're teetering on your heels and you feel like you're getting ready to fall backwards and you're not quite there yet? That's how I feel all the time now with our LGBT rights. It's horrible.
This is the last hurrah of homo hostility. And I thought of this in the shower today. It's not just the fear anymore. You know, you can condone, you can understand being afraid of the other, but now we're entering a phase where it's homo hostility, where it's
right.
Like beyond the fear. We know what this is. You can Google it. You can find out. You can dispel the ignorance. When you choose vicious thing, to be hostile. That's this last hurrah of this Trump, these next 4 years will be the last time this breeze. We're going to come in, we're going to clean house. This hostility will just not even be allowed anymore. It would be just so repugnant to everybody. So, you know, if you want to be hostile to us, this is your chance. Have fun. We're going to come in, and we're going to change all of this. It's exciting times for us. We're going to nail the coffin, put the nail in.
We need to, because it's not just politics. It's I don't know if you read this the other day, but social media, YouTube. I have a lot of friends that are YouTubers, and I watch all the YouTube videos and everything, and a lot of them are up in arms. I guess about 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago now, they changed their policy on what is adult content. And the adult content flagged almost everything that referenced LGBT as mature audience. So anyone that wanted LGBT material, unless they were over 18, they couldn't see it anymore. And we
were living in Russia and we didn't even know this.
It's crazy. It's absolutely crazy. And then this week, and it hasn't been implemented what they're doing yet, but now Instagram is doing the same thing. They said they're going to start blurring pictures and labeling adult content before you can see it. A guy in a guy in jeans. Who knows what they're going? What this policy is going to bring now? But it's like, are they trying?
So is this going to be for? Is this going to be for the women too? Is this going to be for the heterosexual fantasies, not just the male images or the gay images?
You think they have to, but you don't see that. I mean, you never saw that much to begin with women. They usually censor that pretty quickly when there was little boobies sticking out there. But now they're saying they're equalizing that with gay men's chests, or not gay men, but just chests in general. And can you imagine two guys on the beach showing love now? If you're in perfectly PG swimsuits, but if you're bare chested, are they going to put that as mature content now? And you can't even see
right?
pictures.
Right, that's a good question.
That?
That's a really good question. It's out to erase our love, and then you'll have all
right.
of these heterosexual wedding pictures, right? You know,
right.
Or these heterosexual honeymoon photos that will be totally fine, but two gay men kissing on the beach will be considered, you know, pornography. That's
right.
That's ridiculous.
Right. You can have a girl with side boob out the wazoo on a two-piece bathing suit with her, will they take the guy that's a bare-chested guy in swim trunks and a girl with side boob? Are they going to allow that and not allow two guys that are both bare-chested? I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what they do. They haven't, like I said, the policy is not there yet, but they announced the policy is coming on Instagram just the other day. So I'm not happy with it. We're going to see what happens. I'm going to be a loud voice against it because
I love how in tune you are with everything. You know, I do my best checking CNN and other, you know, I check all the news outlets in the morning, you know, kind of peruse everything. But it really, you know, it's inspiring to see so many who like really delve. And you guys help people like me because you give me the gist and then I write plays. So it's like I'm so glad to be on your show because I'm, you know, you're giving me details. I thought I was up on stuff, but your show is really helpful for us to help fill in the blanks. So thank you so much.
Well, I appreciate that. And I appreciate that's why I love having people like you on that can give us all the well-rounded experience. I really do try to delve. I mean, I do a lot of research for my guests. I do a lot of research for this because I think we're at a time now and I'm excited to see little baby steps happening. One of my reasons for doing this and one of my LGBT activism is I think we've tried to erase so much of LGBT history that the younger people coming up know nothing about us. So I was so excited when We Rise come on ABC, a actual broadcast channel showing LGBT content. I was like over the moon on it. And it didn't get the best ratings,
yeah.
but it got good ratings. It got good ratings. And there are people that saw this content because, like I said, unless there are people like LGBT radio showing it, you're not going to find it. OutQ was great at it. OutQ and Sirius, and they shut down the entire OutQ channel. Now you have Andy Cohen's channel, but they cut down half of the radio people that were on OutQ. So it just It's crazy times.
Well, we need to know our history. We need to know, like, this show, The View Upstairs, it deals with what it was to be gay in the 70s. You know, it's about, you know, you run to see this. But we had, like, we had Stonewall, and then, you know, a lot of the things that happened in L.A. before Stonewall. That's
right.
Important to know. It's important to know who Oscar Wilde was and what he went through with the, you know, see the three trials of Oscar Wilde. I mean, you know, we need to know that history. We need to know what that gay liberation movement was in the 70s. And then the AIDS crisis hits. What do we call after the AIDS crisis? I was thinking about this today. Like that late 80s, early 90s, up until marriage equality. What do we call that time of our history? It's like basically
that's
up until 2015. You know what
that's
I think
question.
It is? I just thought of this today, and it's one of the reasons why I do Confessions of a Mormon Boy, because it was, what was it to be gay at the turn of the millennium and at the turn of the 21st century? I coined this thing, and I'm just letting, you know, we'll see what happens with this, but what do you think of the Great Transition? There's a transition that we lived in that was, you know, post-AIDS, the AIDS crisis, and then we're getting into that conversion therapy and, you know, that the religious backlash, and gays are getting our sea legs back, we're getting the meds that keep us alive. You know, it's not a death sentence.
Right.
We're edging ahead. We're edging towards marriage equality. It's about a 20-year period that I think it should be called the Great Transition. And I don't want that to be lost. It's one of the reasons why I'm telling my story. What was it to be excommunicated? How did we survive? You know, there's going to be a time when survival sex and you know, the sex industry and the all that stuff, I think we're going to see less and less of that. The time when we had the, you know, social media hit and the online stuff hit, that's a transitional period to the Great Transition. You like that?
I love that. I think that is amazing, and I agree. And like you said, what you're doing is just as much what I'm doing, everything else. When you talk, not many people know the Mormon experience and what could happen being LGBT. You hear bits and pieces. I know when Prop 8 was going through in California, they blamed the Mormon church on that, but there was no context to it. No really what, why did the Mormon church have something against it, or why would they and why do they not, and what could really happen. And it's great to have different views. I love that.
There's a lot of gay Mormons today that will never be excommunicated because some of us were, you see.
Right.
And for some of them to say that, you know, I excommunicated myself. No, you can't excommunicate yourself. Some of us were lynched spiritually at the stake. We were burned at the stakes, metaphorically. That, you know, we got excommunicated. So you don't have to. So
exactly.
There are distinctions that we need to talk about, and, you know, in this great transition to understand. And it's just as viable and as important as Stonewall, the AIDS crisis, the Harvey Milk story, what we did in those 20 or so years to transition till marriage equality became the full, you know, became it's a completely new era now.
Right. Man, crazy stuff. All right, we only have about 5 minutes left. I want to get your opinion on something. One was something a little fun, a little trashy here. But I want your opinion because you're in the entertainment industry. What do you think about the trend of our community starting to go into the shallow end of the entertainment pool with reality programming? We had this Finding Prince Charming on not too long ago. And I actually have one of the contestants going to be on my show Monday, Provenzal. I gotta get his name. That's so terrible. I don't remember. Sam, I'm sorry. You know I love you. But we have the Finding Prince Charming show now, which is a reality dating show that had its drama. Then we just weeks ago that they're going to do a new Fire Island reality show, at a Fire Island featuring all sorts of pretty boys. And then this week, we find out that they're doing a reality show out of the Abbey, this great gay bar in West Hollywood. And it's going to be featuring the guy that played Nick the Gardener on Ellen DeGeneres' show, that Billy Reilich, is actually really, seems like a really cool guy. But now I don't know what I think about our community going into trash reality. I like that we weren't part of that. I like that The Bachelor and all those paradises and things were in the heterosexual community. Now that we're gaining popularity, I don't know what I think about that. What do you think from an entertainment side, being in the business?
You know what? We're not going to be able to stop it. I mean,
it's
really shallow and superficial, and it is titillating, and it's going to be popular. But we're having a backlash or like a resurgence, you know. And
sorry about that.
I didn't turn my phone off.
For everyone listening back, sorry to interrupt you, but I didn't turn off my studio phone. I'm so sorry for the background noise here. But go ahead.
But you know, all of this is like, you know, it's going to be sex, very sexy, sex. And I haven't seen these shows, but what I'm interested in is not a sexual revolution and all the superficial of it. I'm looking for a sensual revolution where romance, you know, these shows
like
are going to be about romance and emotional intimacy and really dating, not just superficially, but you know, what is it to know another person? I'm reading some books right now, like Porn Again. I think you just had Josh on your show. You know,
I did. What do you think of his book?
Well, he's doing this amazing thing where he's breaking through, asking these questions about what is it to be real? What is it to get past the superficial? How are we going to deepen and have more of a poignant, profound human experience, not just the superficial, whether it's showbiz or all these externals? So,
right.
You know, let all this, you know, kind of more crappy stuff happen that doesn't have a lot of soul. But I think some of us are up to really exploring, you know, what is it to be real in the face of all of that fluff?
And I think that's a good point. I think you're right. But you're right. We do have things. I got to think about that. We have a lot of positive stuff coming out as well. There are some. There's a counterbalance to everything. But it's just I was excited that we were never part of the down and trash. But I got to admit, down and trash is a little fun on occasion. You got to watch it. You got to have a little. Fun every once in a while, but it's going to be interesting to see what happens, where it goes. As long as we can counterbalance that, like you said, with the strong messages that we are getting from certain parts of the community, I think it's a good thing.
So we have the full spectrum. So there we go. That's good.
There we go. Well, gosh, I can't believe we've gone through an hour already. You need to give everyone where they can find you, give them your social media, anywhere they can find you, because you guys want to know. Even fails, believe me. It's amazing. I want to find out all about this trip in August, and of course he's going to be in Dublin. But how can they find you, Stephen?
Yes. Well, I'm on Facebook, all over the place on Facebook. My Stephen with a V, Fails, my last name, F as in Frank, or F as in Fabulous, A-L-E-S, Fails. And I'm Stephen Fails online on Instagram. I'm Mormon Boy on Twitter. And, take a look at my Facebook. We're raising money, actually, for the Dublin run. You know, they've invited us over, but, you know, I've got to feed the crew. And it's not a big moneymaker,
sure.
But we're spreading a message. So I've got a GoFundMe account there on my Facebook page, Stephen Fails. Also, there's a Facebook page, Mormon Boy. So thanks for asking.
Awesome deal. Well, thank you for standing on my soapbox with me today. I had fun.
Yeah, me too. I'm glad there was room.
Well, you're going to have to come back and co-host many more times with me on here and on Left of Straight Show. Thanks so much again.
Anytime.
I appreciate it. All
my
right, well,
pleasure,
Stan. Oh, and it's Sam Provenzano. That Sam's going to be on my show Monday, just so you guys know. Sam, I'm sorry I butchered your name. I know you listen to the show, but Sam was one of the bachelors that left early because he kind of got in a fight with one of them and didn't think it was for him. So we're going to have Sam on the show Monday to talk about that, speaking of finding Prince Charming. But, guys, I am going to be on vacation for 2 weeks. I do have a couple of great shows for you for the Left of Straight Show. The next two Mondays and Tuesdays are going to be pre-taped but brand new. So be sure to tune in for that every Monday and Tuesday, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 2 p.m. Pacific. And I'm going to do next Wednesday live from the Grove in L.A. We're going to do Standing on the Soapbox live with a couple of guest co-hosts with me in there. And we'll do it also on the way back. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Thanks for joining in, everyone. Steven, stay on the line for me. We're going to play out today with a bit of a Ravel, one of my favorite songs right now, 11 Blocks. Thanks for standing on our soapbox with us, and we'll see you next week.
11 blocks from my door to your doorstep. 3 years later and it feels too close. I thought I broke the last of that breakdown the morning I sold your winter coat. It doesn't feel right when I'm grabbing a coffee. The same old spot, but I'm on my own. I feel okay in the day, but at nighttime, you know how I get when I'm alone. 'Cause my mind won't stop, Mr. myself counting on the way. The right when I stepped in the door to the party, I stepped outside to grab a smoke. You know how I get when I'm alone, no. 'Cause my mind won't stop, it's a doorstep. 3 years later, and it feels too close.